Welcome, everyone. Welcome, listeners, back to the PHFHL podcast. I'm your host, as always, Maddie, and with me, my co-host, Marak. Ty, how are you doing today, pal?
I'm doing great. Every time I hear that intro, it just brings up, we just need to change the name, because the name is not from the tongue. Every time we do it, I'm like, I forget about it, and then we bring it up, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. Episode 10, here we go.
I thought for a second we could make it through one intro without bringing up how bad and how much we hate our name. It just sounds so ridiculous to be repeated over and over again. We've got a guest today, and maybe he can help us. He's been at this a little bit longer than us. He can throw some suggestions maybe our way. We've got John Easthope of the Double Digit Hockey Show. John, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Thank you. I love that you ripped your name of your own show, because mine doesn't roll off the tongue either. So it takes a lot of practicing in the mirror or whatever before you start your show. Don't screw up. And throwing in something like obscenity as you're trying to get your show name out. Love it. Keep ripping on it. It's fun. It's a gimmick. Use it. Run with it.
Yeah. I like it. All right. We're sticking with it. It's not going anywhere, people. Check it out. Oh, man. So we're coming in hot, gang. We're going to talk about some different things. Ty has a little segment called Contenders Pretenders. It's a completely original segment. No one's ever done it before. First time ever in the history of anyone. So we're pretty excited about that. But first, we're going to start off with the Olympic jerseys. We've got two jerseys we're focusing on today. We've got Team Canada and we've got the Team USA. Now, as our guest, John, let us know. How do you rank them? Do you think either of them are good? Let us have it.
Though they both get negative rankings, if that's possible, from me. I'll start with Canada. I don't mind the overall idea of what they did. The maple leaf looks weird on some of these jerseys. I don't know where the all black thing that this country has adopted comes from. The flag is white and red. Let's make white and red jerseys here. That all black one, it's kind of cool for a gimmicky jersey, but to roll a black one after just having a black one, after having a different black one, it's a little old. Black jerseys are so common everywhere you go. The Flames have one. Everyone in the league seems to bring out a black jersey. Be original. Go back to the red and white. Rock it. That's what our flag is. Let's rock those colors. The white one looks more like pajamas to me than anything else. I'm not a big fan of that, but you know, they are slightly better than whatever the United States decided to do there. I don't really know how to classify those. They're like Zeller knockoffs that you buy off eBay. I don't understand where they went with that. They have these classic colors, but they're just trying to do all this new innovative stuff. And it's like, just go with what worked. You know, go back in time, go back to Lake Placid, throw back to those jerseys. Those are tremendous looking jerseys. Go back to something just simple. Always trying to do something new and different. Doesn't always work. We see that with Canada, and we see that even worse with the United States. Like, I don't know why I'm talking about them today, but the only one that really jumped off the page for me was the Finland jerseys. Those were nice. They went basic. They put out the beautiful crest on the front, the sumi that everyone knows and loves. And they went awesome. And I love them so much that I'm actually going to go get that white one. I have to get that white one. Just deciding who to put on the back, whether it's going to be Lindholm or Barkov. We'll see how that shapes up down in my future. That'll be a Twitter vote, I think, to decide that for me. But Canada, US, they both completely missed the mark for me going to the Olympics.
Yeah, Ty, what do you think?
Yeah, the U.S. one is hot garbage, right? Like, I would love to own, like, a Matthew Chuck.
Good phrase.
But, like, that is hot garbage. Like, whoever the marketing and creative designer of that needs to be let go, like, right away. It's terrible. Canada's, I'm a little bit disappointed. Like John said, the all-black one with the weird inner graphic of the Canadian flag just doesn't do anything for me. It would have been cool if we would have maybe had, like, an Aboriginal touch or something really sweet, like, you know, bringing our Canadian heritage into it. I wish they would have done something like that. I'm with you. Finland's is amazing. It's clean. It's sharp. The crest is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just make it easy for you. You got to get a Barkov one. There's not much competition there. Barkov all the way, baby.
I'm a Flames guy. Lindy's my boy. So that's why I put him in the conversation. Yeah. But Barkov, how can you not, right?
I'll stand on this island. I don't hate the Team Canada jerseys. I do think that they could be improved upon. I think the mostly red one would look dynamic with that white trim around the maple leaf. And I think similarly, the white jersey that had black trim around the maple, like, I think they're little touches. I get it. The black jersey doesn't really make a lot of sense to me in terms of a patriotism sense, in terms of a representing Canada sense. That one seems pure marketing. You see, it came up a lot with recently when they were discussing New Jersey's epic New Jerseys. New Jersey's New Jerseys. Perfect. That should be the headline right there. But there's this idea that fans everywhere clamor for these black jerseys. And I think that, I guess some do. And there are some, you know, all black jerseys that are all-time greats, I guess. But I don't think everyone needs that completely black variant jersey. It doesn't make sense to me. And I think the worst thing is it's going to be seeing them on the ice. It's one thing if they're being sold to fans, but like, I don't understand having Team Canada get out there head to toe in black jerseys. But as I said, like, I like them for the most part. I hate those American jerseys, right?
Yeah.
Those jerseys are so bad. They just went, pardon the pun, they blew their load on this one. It's just blue on blue on blue, and it's not even the best shade of blue. And then on top of that, when they were making the pants, did they think to match them to the sock and the jersey blue? No, they went with like a shiny blue. So now what just draws your attention on all your hockey players? Their crotch. That's the most eye-catching part of those jerseys, which depending on your demographic, maybe that's what you're going for, but I can't imagine whoever designed those keeping their jobs or being hired for a similar role in the future. They were just atrocious. You know, they've got their three primary colors, and Canada did more with their two primary colors, you know, like it's so I think I don't think I've heard anything positive about the USA jerseys yet.
No. I will say, just to say, is I think what bugs me about the Canadian ones is, and this is just nitpicking because really we don't even know if NHL players are going to the Olympics, but the two black crests, I think that bothers me the most, where you could have had a white crest or like a different color, or, you know, I just think the two black ones, when like John said, our flag is red. It just seems weird. It just seems like they're trying to be too modern, where we have really nice classic Canadian jerseys that they could have taken or paid homage to. And yeah, I don't know.
We got a couple in shot right now that they could have worked with, but.
Absolutely, yeah. The one thing I forgot to mention when I talked about those US jerseys, and anyone who follows me on Twitter already knows this about me, when a team comes out with just a written word as the quote unquote logo or crest, it just screams laziness to me. You're not inventive enough to come up with a logo even. You're just so lazy, you're just going to put USA on the front of your jersey and put some lines around it. And look at us, new crest. No, it's just lazy. That's the problem I have with the new Devils jersey. It's just lazy. You wrote the word on the front of the jersey, the Canes jersey. The only team that should get away with writing their name across the jersey is the iconic Rangers, because it's old. It's been there since the beginning of time. I'll give them the pass on that one. Just writing the word across the front of a jersey, it's lazy to me. Put some thought into it. You have all those stars and stripes you brag about. Use them into a jersey. Incorporate them into that logo and make something sweet. Don't just go boring and write the name USA on the front. This isn't the track team. This is a hockey team. Let's make, you know, how do you market that? How do you use that on NHL players on the biggest stage? Just beyond me. That's always my pet peeve when it comes to a jersey.
If you are going to just do letters, Like you said, the Rangers, I even like the Pittsburgh one that they just brought back right recently this week.
Yeah, I hate it.
You hate it? Oh, I love it. Awesome. I love it. But they could, like the old US ones where it's USA and diagonal. I think those are nice too on the white jersey. Yeah, they just definitely missed the mark. I don't know what they were doing, especially when that team's going to be electric. They got a lot of studs, fast players, and they're really boring.
Yeah. I haven't looked into this, but I got to assume, like, how their third jersey should probably be camo. Like, that to me would make the most sense. I think everybody worldwide would be like, yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
Better than what they have.
Yeah. That's a little more creative.
Now they can just go down to Walmart and get the standard jersey like New Jersey did.
Yeah.
Man. Moving on from the jersey hate. Some positive news, some exciting news, at least, you know, if you like Jack Eichel. He's been on the ice skating, so the recovery seems to be going very well. That's really exciting news. He may join the team as early as 3 weeks from now. And on top of that, we're already seeing kind of the snowball effect. Tyler Johnson has just, I can't remember if he'd gone under for it or he's scheduled for it. He's getting that same disc replacement surgery that up until a few weeks ago was considered experimental and dangerous. So it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see him back on the ice and skating and looking healthy so early. Ty, do you regret trading him to me, or, you know,
yeah. In our fantasy league, yeah, I do regret it. I didn't expect that to happen so quickly. I will say though, good on Jack Eichel. You know, he stuck to his guns. Your friend's gonna be mad at me. Poor on the Buffalo Sabres. You know, sometimes if there is a new surgery that you should take a risk on and that player feels that way about it, you should probably let him do it. And you're starting to see that. He's way ahead of schedule. What was the headline? It was supposed to be 3 weeks or 3 weeks he'll be back skating with Vegas and the team, which is impressive. It's going to be fun to watch that team and their cap flexibility, who they're going to have to ship out and to let him back, come back into the lineup. But yeah, good on Tyler Johnson, good on Jack Eichel, and good on the teams, you know, for taking that risk. It's how it should be.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, I'm happy for Jack because I never got, and I don't want to rip on Buffalo, but I never got why Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres were so hard at saying no. They were never getting this commodity back. Let him have his surgery and get back faster. So they gypped us of a few months of Jack Eichel here because it's going well. He's not the first professional athlete to undergo the surgery and go on to do big things. UFC fighters have won after having this surgery. So I don't understand why they were so scared about it. Yes, first National Hockey League player to get it. But like Ty mentioned, and you've mentioned as well, Maddie, it's Tyler Johnson's done the same thing. These guys are going to come back healthy and ready to play hockey. It's going to be interesting to see how much he holds back the first little while back playing a game until he gets that contact underneath of him. But good on Jack Eichel. Whether you like the trade or not, or you're a Flames fan and you hate the trade or wherever he went, it's going to be good to see the superstar back in the league where he belongs playing, regardless of where that is. And it's going to be good for the Vegas Golden Knights as well. They're going to get healthy. That team's going to be where it's supposed to be, and that'll be a fun, exciting team to watch. Even if you hate them like I do, it's going to be exciting to see how they incorporate everyone together and the ice time. So it's good on Jack Eichel, happy for him, and I hope Tyler Johnson finds the same similar success through his surgery. He comes back to the Blackhawks and can perform at a high level.
I just want to piggyback on this. At the start of the year, everybody was saying how boring the Pacific Division is. Just think about the stars in that Pacific Division that are coming out now. Vegas now also has Jack Eichel. I just watched the Anaheim Ducks game last night. Trevor Zegras is going to be a stud. Calgary's playing amazing. San Jose has some good pieces. They're a little overachieving right now. But, man, that division is going to be fun to watch, especially with Edmonton and those two superstars down up the road from us. But, yeah.
Don't undersell the Kings either.
That's true. I forgot all about the Kings, and they played a good game 2 days ago. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun division.
Right on. We got two basement teams right now that unfortunately don't look like, well, one has better prospects than the other. Both, what brings them in, what is they have in common though, is both of them are being rumored for sale. John, do you rate these rumors at all? You know, Phoenix, that was a pretty big rumor to come out. It seemed like a really well-researched one, and they shut it down. It would make some sense, of course. And then Ottawa as well. Like, you can talk about them a little bit if you want, but do you rate either of these as any weight to them? Do you think that this is, or just, is this just chatter?
When it comes to Arizona, I don't give anything any weight ever, because we hear this over and over. It's a continual cycle over there. And then with Melnick in Ottawa, he's kind of done this before when they had that outdoor game out there. He was talking about how he could move the team in an instant type of thing. So he's kind of posh. I wonder if this is more of a posture than an actual sale. I hope he sells for the good of that franchise and that fan base. Maybe it can be salvaged there. Arizona can't be salvaged in my books. I've talked about it on multiple shows that I've done and on other people's shows where this team is primed to move. Move them, market them properly, and let's go. You've tried that team, so many different variants of it in different places. It's garbage right now. I railed on them a few weeks ago on one of my shows, called them the worst franchise I've ever seen. It's not run well. There's nothing there to build with. Jacob Chychrun is on an island by himself. And there's nothing around him, nothing coming to help him. There's nothing there. I don't know. I hopefully these are more than just rumors around Arizona. Get them a stable owner. Move them where they can actually prosper. Houston's a great market for anyone who remembers the Arrows back in the WHA days or when they were an AHL franchise. They sold out a lot. They won. There was a great fan base down there that's being, you know, and that's a natural rival for Dallas as well. And then Ottawa, let's sell that team. That's a good young team. They're trying to jump the gun here with the rebuild over thing. It's not over. Like, get that franchise right on the path here and get them a proper rink. Like, I don't understand why they're out, you know, 2 hours away from everybody who's actually a fan of that team. Get them in a proper rink downtown Ottawa and market. The key for me for both these teams, though, when and if they get sold, market is going to be so key. Market that team properly. You'll prosper in both those markets, I promise.
Yeah.
The Arizona one makes so much sense. Houston's a huge market, fourth biggest city in the United States. I think there's a lot of smoke here. I think there was some, Elliot was reporting that they might play in Kansas City and then some in Arizona and just back and forth. You can't do that to your fan base. You're just basically toying with them eventually for a move. I don't think they wanted it to get out. I don't think it's good for what's happening right now in Arizona and trying to get fans in there and make a little bit of money before they do sell. But yeah, I agree with John is that team needs a new like overhaul. And they, if that's either Quebec or Houston, yes, please. I'll take either option. As for Ottawa, isn't this the whole problem with Ottawa? Like stability? You have Melnick who's still trying to fight for a downtown arena, but then you have rumors that he's also selling it. I think the problem with Melnick is they just want a plan. Like, give us what you want with this team, right? Like, we want fans to come. We want to, you know, support this team. But you're in and out. You want to sell it. You want a new arena. Make up your mind. You have to decide. And, yeah, I think Arizona will be sold. And I think Melnick is just too much of a hard butt that he won't sell. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you. I think, like John said, like, the Arizona experience seems to have run its course. I think you can only go for so long. And I don't think we can point to a time where it looked like it was working or it was on the cusp of becoming something. So I really don't think there's anything to hold on to there. I don't know if I buy the actual rumors because, you know, I think that Houston makes a lot of sense because they are a big market. I think it would be an easy shift for them. Arizona's also got that big market to them. So I think that Gary and the NHL owners are going to hold on to it as much as they can. But I think that Houston is a natural fit if they can't make that work. But I still think they're going to pull out more to try to make it happen. I could see an ownership change. Like we've talked about it on our podcast, you can't just move the team and expect it to be better. You need to change things from the top down. So an ownership change, maybe somebody that, you know, has at least a chance for a new opportunity with that state to get things right. I think that could make sense. I don't put any stock into, we talked about this last week, I think the Quebec rumors. I still don't think that makes sense really anywhere. And I think the Hail Mary, I guess I could see is if they were going to do anything there, it would be moving Ottawa. It would be because, I mean, you'd be taking a team that is pretty far away from, like they're in Canada, they're outside of Ottawa. So it's not like you're really losing that. So, like, I don't think Ottawa fans would really, like, they'd be bummed, but they wouldn't be that upset. They would just go back to
cheer for what them. Ottawa fans.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Who's going to the game? They half their arena's tarped, and it's, you know.
But, yeah, I think that's the only hope, and I think that could be something with the NHL if they decided to, they were finally sick of Melnick, that they might slide those guys over to Quebec. But I don't think they're going to move another team to Canada. I think they'd be open to sliding them around, shuffling them around, because it is just, like I said, Houston is too big of a market to ignore for much longer. And they want Arizona to work, but
yeah,
it just doesn't.
Does Gary step in here and be like, hey, Eugene, man, you got to make up your mind here. like, we need a plan for this team needs to start being successful, just like Arizona. Like, if you were to rank terrible franchises, is that not the two bottom five? And I'm not saying Ottawa hasn't had great playoff success. They've had better playoff success than the team I root for. So I'm just saying that there's no stability from the top down. And I think that's the problem, right? So maybe Gary needs to come in. Hey, man, you either sell the team or you really go for this downtown arena. But yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. It's a mystery. John, any last thoughts on that one?
The move for Arizona to Houston is also a great fit for the league as it's set up right now. They could stay in the Central Division. Nothing changes there. The only thing that really changes is what you guys have been talking about here, just moving that team and get it going here and market that team in the proper area and let's get going here. These franchises shouldn't be spinning their tires like they are. And Gary Bettman's going to keep pouring money into the Coyotes until it works. I don't even see him moving this team unless it's forced upon him by the other owners, because it's such, just how much money has he dumped into it already? It's been billions dumped into that franchise just because he likes them there because of the market. Well, there's a bigger market just a couple hours east of where they are right now that bigger money and has someone who actually can make that team work. So hopefully for Arizona, they can get it out there and get it marketed and put someone in charge of that team that's going to actually know how to run a franchise and how much they can get a winning culture in there. Change that culture as well will be really big for the Coyotes if they move.
Yeah. I think if Gary could have that influence, if he could, he would have already. But I think realistically, Gary's not exactly a spring chicken. So I would not be surprised if he was replaced in the next few years, or if he just decided, I'm rich as hell and I don't need this anymore. I'm just going to go retire. I could see him being replaced. And if in the next 2 to 3 years, the next person in, you would assume that one of their top priorities would be to get those guys settled or teams of that nature settled. So, yeah.
Yeah. One last thing. Let's just free Clayton Keller. Like, please just free the guy. He's a stud. He's a great player, but like, you never hear of him because he plays in Arizona. So it's my daily thing. Free Keller. That's all.
And Chychrun.
Yeah.
Drake Chychrun too. I love Chychrun, but I don't think he's going anywhere. No, that kid's a stud there.
Off the cuff, unplanned. What are we suggesting? Give me your best suggestion for the Houston team's name. I'm thinking the Sheriffs.
I go classic. I go with the Arrows.
Yeah, I'm
bring going back the Houston Arrows.
Yeah, I'm going with the Arrows.
Oh.
They're just gonna pull a Winnipeg Jets and just, you know, same different logo, same name. That's all.
Yeah.
Just anything by Coyotes, rid yourself of that name, even though that logo is wicked, rid yourself of that name and start anew.
It does suck because those are the best kits in all of hockey, man. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
They're tight. No, the Blues? You're putting the Blues top?
The Blues need to go back to the 1960s and bring back those baby blues, or they need to bring back the sash jerseys. Those were nice. Something if the ones they have now are all right, but come on, it's a little boring. Let's be honest here.
It's classy, but I'm down with baby blues. I don't mind the sash as long as they don't go back to that Music City logo. those jerseys are so bad. Oh, they're upsetting to think about. Oh man. All right, we got a little segment we want to do. I touched on it. Contender, pretender. Ty, you're lined us up. I'm just going to pass this up to you.
Yeah, this is it. So I looked at the NHL standings and we have some, you know, some risers and some surprises. And I just want to go over with the boys and get your opinions on them. All the teams that I'm going to say, there's five of them are relatively close to the playoffs or just out of the playoffs or they're top their division. So it's all on the cuffs. There's no like Buffalo Sabres. We know they suck, right? Sorry, Matt's friend. I'm so sorry. I had to get the one.
We made it through that whole segment talking about how Ottawa and Arizona were easily the worst teams and worst franchises in the league. And I thought, oh, wow, that's really nice that we're not sneaking in the Sabres jazz, but you did it anyway. So
I got it in there. I feel so good about myself. I will say this. When I'm meaning contenders, I'm not meaning Stanley Cup contenders. I'm just more meaning, hey, are they going to make the playoffs and maybe go on a little bit of run? Maybe the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals. I think there's a clear top three teams that are going to make the Stanley Cup as of right now. So we'll start off with this. Anaheim Ducks with a very young and fast team. Anaheim has had a tremendous start, surprising everybody from going from the last place, like history, power play, from last year to this year. They have some studs. They're in the playoffs right now. Can you see them staying there? We'll start there with John.
No, these guys are pretenders. This is a great story early in the season, but Dallas Eakins, he doesn't coach playoff teams in the National Hockey League level yet. He has a old guy in Getzlaff who's out. He's their leader. He doesn't have a backup goaltender, so it's eventually going to wear Gibson down again, unfortunately, for the Ducks. They're really close, though. There's a lot of great things to like about this. And Troy Terry's not going to score at the pace he's been scoring at. There's just no way. It'll fall off for him. They're close, but I'm going to call them a pretender.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I can't say it any better, so I'll say it worse. They're fool's gold. It's not going to happen. Great story. Glad they're doing well. And, you know, in a couple of years, maybe even next year, I think that they could easily be a contender. This year, no. I don't mind saying it'll take something pretty substantial to happen to their opponents for them to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. I feel like they can make a push, like a Minnesota Wild team last year where nobody expected them to make the playoffs and they were young and they didn't really have much experience and they had Cam Talbot at net. I think John Gibson is solid. I think they have some good pieces on defense. I think Trevor Zegras is a stud. And I do think Ryan Getzlaff's got a little bit more in his tank as you're seeing this rebuild. I'm going to go with pretender as well, but I think they're going to be right on the cusp there. Next up, I have the Calgary Flames. My team, John's team, the holy grail of the Pacific Division. They're off to their second best start in franchise history through the 24 games. Top defensive team, as you can see. Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau can finally play 5-on-5 defense. It's amazing. Plus, they have a really good goalie duo. Are these guys pretenders or are they contenders?
I got to take the bias out of it. And I love how you phrased it as it's going to be a playoff team. They are a playoff team. There's no doubt about that they're a playoff team. Whether they can win the Pacific or stay in the top three of the Western Conference there, that's a completely different story. But Sutter has these guys bought in. And when you see Gaudreau actually back-checking, you know there's buy-in on this team. And that's going to be good enough to get them where they need to go. It also doesn't help that you have your three biggest players with Mangiapane, Gaudreau, and with Tkachuk all on a contract year and all trying to play for big money. So that doesn't help your cause either. And you've got a really nice back end with some emerging players. So these guys are a playoff team. We'll see, though, how good they are in the Pacific Division, especially with Vegas coming on. They're getting Eichel back and some guys back from injury. So that'll be an interesting part of the race.
Yeah, I would love to be contrarian here, but I'm afraid I can't. they're contenders. They're contenders. They got very fortunate, but they also assessed it well when they were able to get their hands on Jacob Markstrom. Vancouver put in a lot of great work in getting this guy ready for the starting role and then just let him walk. So good for Calgary. He is an absolute stud back there. And I think he's got plenty of great hockey years ahead of him. You guys built well. And another thing that I never would have thought happened is they are playing for Sutter. I chuckled when they kept him on. When they originally brought him in, I thought, well, I mean, with the COVID restrictions, he's already in the building. It's probably more of a, let's just finish this season and figure this out. They kept him on, and I thought that was hilarious. I thought, great, he's going to be tearing this team apart by Christmas. They're all going to get traded. Matthew Tkachuk will finally get to come home and be with his family. But no, you guys are playing really well. And you've got the talent. I think that's it. I think preseason, it was easy to see that they should be in the mix because of what they have on the ice. But the big question was, can they be brought together? And is Darryl Sutter the guy to do it? And the answer seems to be hands down, yes, absolutely. So yeah, I like John said, that they've got probably a lot of tough games ahead of them, mm-hmm. but they've got a goaltender playing some of his best hockey. They've got a talented, young, hungry team in front of him. And you know what? They probably have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I mean, that's the Sutter way anyways. So, yeah, I think that they're a lock for playoffs. I think they've got a great chance of making it a couple of rounds. And who knows? Contender.
Contender. Hey, I'll take 2 for 2 on that, and I'll make it 3 for 3. I will say, too.
Big surprise.
Yeah, huge surprise, hey? I will say that there's been a lot of surprises. Oliver Shillington playing out of his mind. Mangiapane shooting at like a 26% clip is unsustainable, but still amazing. And Dan Vladar, you know, like there was a lot of big talks at the start of the year. Like, this is your backup. This is the guy you're going to bring in that, you know, Markstrom's has injuries problems in his past and you're trusting Dan Vladar. The guys looked amazing. So yeah, I think they're contenders. I don't think they're going to be the top team in the Pacific Division all season. They'll be, you know, they'll be, they won't be a wild card team, but they'll be right there. The next one, this one's hard for me to say because I picked the Boston Bruins to win their division at the start of the year. And boy, do I look silly. The schedule has not been kind to the Boston Bruins. It feels like some weeks they only play one game or two games. They're, you know, for a team that for the past, 10, 12 years has been so depth heavy, you can tell they have holes. And now they have one of their depth pieces in Jake DeBrusk, who wants out. Goaltending's been below average or average. There's been Tuukka Rask sightings at practice. Is this team, and they're just out of the mix. They're games in hand, but are these guys pretenders or contenders?
The problem for Boston is the division they play in. You got Toronto, you got Tampa Bay, you got Florida all ahead of you, and the Red Wings punching above their weight class. It's hard for me to call these guys a contender. This is the hardest one on your list that you sent me to pick whether they're a contender. I'm going to go pretender. I don't see the perfection line being the normal perfection line we got used to seeing. I don't see them getting the goaltending that they got consistently from Rask. I just don't know if they have enough depth either to push them over the edge. And like I said, there's three teams ahead of them, and that other division is loaded. So there's a lot of teams vying for playoff spots in that other division. In my preseason rankings, I only had three from this division making it. And those three teams are currently 1, 2, and 3. I have Boston just on the outside here. And I got to stick with that prediction because I just don't see enough out of them. I don't see enough punch. I don't see the normal Bruins hockey when you watch this team play. They don't have that bite to their game. They don't have that finish that you've seen from them. Marchand's not up in people's faces like we were used to him seeing. And I don't know what's wrong with Bergeron, but he doesn't look like we got accustomed to seeing Bergeron. And I think he's been bad, but he's not the normal Bergeron we got used to seeing year in and year out from him. So for me, they're a pretender, but they're a close pretender.
See, I'm going to put a capital P on that pretender. I'm going to stick to my guns. I've been saying this since preseason. They have one of the best lines in all of hockey. And then they have three fourth lines. And those are some really talented depth players, but I just don't see them as being a team that is even, you know, I don't see them even being able to turn a corner. They're not one player away. They're not a hot goaltender. They're not a 26-year-old Tuukka Rask coming through time travel and saving them. They're not there. They are a team that is riding the coattails of this amazing collection of players they have on the top line, one of whom is aging out. He's still amazing. Bergeron's still amazing. And Marchand's still in his prime. You got lots of great years left in Pastrnak, but Father Time is undefeated, and the rest of that lineup is not it. Taylor Hall is not it. It's just not, they're not it. They are
disappeared.
Yeah, they are over the cliff. They are careening down. That top line is gonna prop them up. You know, maybe they put something together and somehow squeak into a wild card. Maybe if they're exceptionally lucky. But like John, you pointed out, there are three teams ahead of them right now that I also picked. They're just head and shoulders above. They're just up and down the lineup, exceptionally better than the Boston Bruins. I think the Ducks are more likely to make the playoffs than the Boston Bruins. I'd be way more comfortable putting money on them. Yeah, pretender, capital P. Boston, you had some great years. Enjoy the bottom, enjoy the basement.
I got to stick with my guns here. I picked them to win the division now. Boy, like I said, that looks dumb now, but I'm going to say that they're going to make the wild card. When I say contender, 100% playoff team, not much more than that. I think they're going to make some moves. I do think Tuukka Rask is going to come back and he's going to just win everybody's heart over in Boston, where people seem to hate him, even though he stays around, doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I think Detroit falls out, and I think the Islanders have dug too far of a hole. I think Philadelphia is a mess. New Jersey's growing pains, and yeah, I can see them sliding in there. But other than that, are they going to be top three team in their division? No, and I'm going to take a big L on that one, but still. The next one up I have is pretty – it's unique because we're used to the Winnipeg Jets being this, like, powerhouse in the Central, right? They have so much depth. They went out. They traded Patrick Laine, got another big center in Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's been playing out of his mind. He's physical. I hate when he plays the Flames. He's always roughing up guys. And last night they exploded. Are the Winnipeg Jets back to being contenders, or is it too late and they're pretenders?
This is the easiest one on your list you've sent me. These guys are contenders, and it's not even hard for me to say this. They added so many veterans to this lineup over the summer. They got some great defense out there. They have Hellebuck going. They've got one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League. Every team slumps, and yes, their slump was huge. It was bad. It looked terrible there for a while. But they're going to figure it out. You can't keep Mark Scheifele down. You can't keep Blake Wheeler down. Ehlers is going to find the back of the net again. They have one of the most underrated players in Kyle Connor, who's finally scoring more goals again. That power play is going to sort itself out. It's going to be natural for Winnipeg to get back in the winning structure. Plus, Shoveldayoff is a patient man, right? So he's not going to go out there and rush judgment on these guys. If he makes another move, this one has been calculated for a while, and he knows it's going to work, much like he did with the Laine trade. A lot of people gave him heck for that trade. It's working because Pierre-Luc Dubois looks great right now. This is a contender team, and if they don't finish in the top three of their division, they're going to run over as a wild card team.
Yeah, Ty, you asked if they're back, and the answer is no, because they never left. These guys are contenders. They've got one of the best goaltenders in hockey right now, who's in his prime. They've got a great lineup, great team play. Again, John said it really, really well. I'm not going to try to say it any better. And I'm just looking up. They've got the Fast and Furious at center on fourth line. Dominic Toretto, basically, but not Toretto. I love that name. I just saw that for the first time. I'm like, oh, that's going to be flying. So, yeah, how can you bet against them? These guys are contenders all the way. Yeah, I don't know. They've had some really, probably some very big frustration in the playoffs the last couple of years. So predicting what happens with that, it's hard to say. Are they going to continue to be Cinderellas that can't quite get it done? Are they going to always kind of turn into a pumpkin at midnight? Or are they going to put that playoff loss in the past to heart and grow? I don't know. But they're making the playoffs. Contenders, 100% done.
So you guys made it sound so simple that they're...
Because it is.
Contenders. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here just a little bit. That division is tough, right? Like, that is a disgusting division. And I think Minnesota, who Matt did not pick to make the playoffs, just saying... is a beast, right? Cam Talbot back there, Kirill, they're amazing to watch. You have Dallas on the outskirts right now, who right now is even a bigger mess, and they're still the same amount of points as Winnipeg and games in hand. You have Colorado, who's way out of it right now with games in hand, and they're finally getting healthy. So which one of those, so I imagine San Jose bumps out, but then one of those five teams of the Central is not making it. So I think Winnipeg could be it. And the only reason I say that is Blake Wheeler's getting older. The slump is real. The defense is suspect a bit sometimes, right? And that's the only thing. I think it's either Dallas or it's going to be Winnipeg. And so I'm going to be the other guy. I'm going to say they're a contender right now.
All five of those teams from the Central will make it, because there's only going to be three from the Pacific that make it. I predicted that at the end of the season. I'm going to stick with my guns there.
I think, like, in retrospect, I think we picked the same thing, where it was basically, we've got Vegas and Edmonton coming out with somebody else. And right now it would be the Flames, I would say. And then, yeah, we've got five teams coming from Central. The Blues are a lock. The Avs are a lock. Winnipeg's not quite a lock, but they're getting pretty close. I can't get over the fact that you just had they, like you said, they're a beast, and then said Cam Talbot, as if Cam Talbot's got a long career of success that you can point to.
Cam Talbot is a beast. What are you talking about? The guy is a rock.
Cam Talbot is a terrific regular season goaltender. He'll get them there. He's not going to get them far, but he'll get them there.
I'm not saying he's winning the Stanley Cup. I'm saying he's going to get him to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's a lock. Minnesota is a threat.
They're a threat. I'm not saying they're the basement. They've got easy games against Arizona and Smashville all season long. They'll be fine. But, you know, I don't know. I think that you're getting a little silly there, propping up Cam Talbot. Hey.
Just because
he owned the Flames when he was with
them. He played for the Flames. He was great too. But yeah. Give Minnesota the respect they deserve. That team for 2 years has come out and they are gangbusters, man. They are wicked. Okay. Without getting Matt, you know, a little too riled up here. Columbus is the last team. I think they've been a nice surprise. They've got a lot of young pieces. Cole Sillinger, who is going to be a stud in the NHL for a long time, I think. And Elvis Merlinkitz, who's – is he a stud, Matty? I just want to make sure before I say he's a rock.
Hey, no. You express your opinions as you see fit, and I'll let you know later on.
He's a really solid goalie. They definitely have holes, but they definitely have some nice pieces. And the crazy thing is they're not completely healthy right now. They don't even have Patrick Laine. They're just on the outside. Are they pretenders or contenders?
I'll call these guys the Anaheim Ducks of the East. It's a nice story. There's some good pieces there. They got a nice goaltender playing well, but they're going to miss. They're pretenders. They're going to fall off here. They're riding a lot of emotions right now with their offseason that they had, the turmoil that franchise went under. So it's a lot of emotions right now, and as the season goes on, that's going to wear off, and these guys are going to come back down to earth a little bit. Nice pieces there. They have some good young players to build around. They got a nice goaltender who is on a mission to win the Vezina. So when you're motivated like that, you're going to win some games that you maybe not have had. And we'll see what Laine is like when he comes back from injury. But these guys are just like Anaheim. They're close, but they're not ready to be a contender.
Yeah, I think I'm of a similar mind. I don't even know if I think that they're like a team of the future. I think they're a great story right now. I think they're playing really well. And who knows? But I think it's just too early to tell. Like they came out of the Tortorella era, we'll call it, playing a very, very specific type of hockey where it almost didn't matter who was on the ice. If you just played this style of hockey, grind it out, you're going to get some results, and then you're going to try to get that lucky goal at the end. Tort's got a lot out of them, but I don't think that was their best version. I don't know. For me, it's too early to tell what they're going to be in the future. This year, pretender. I can't see them putting it together and really making that kind of run again. Like Anaheim, I think that it would take a lot of things to go wrong for their opponents for them to have a good shot at really making the playoffs, honestly. It's early in the year. We haven't even made it to Christmas yet. You know, there's a lot of hockey and a lot of young teams, a lot of exciting teams getting to January, getting to February, and you just can't keep it up anymore. The excitement wears off. The adrenaline wears off. At some point, you need to be good and put in the work, and I just don't know if they're there yet. So I'm going to say easy pretender, really.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 3-for-3. They're 100% pretenders, but a great story. And I also think coming out of the Tortorella era, I don't think management could have done a better job. Look at who they drafted this last draft, right? They had the tragedy in the summer with the goalie. I think they're a fun team to watch. And I definitely think in a few years, they're going to be right back where they were with actual talent, not just like gritting it out, grinding it out. They've got some studs coming their way. And that concludes it. I will say I'm a little disappointed on your guys' Boston Bruins take, especially after I picked them to win the division. But yeah,
did you not see the Florida roster or the Tampa roster? Take a look at what Toronto did before you made any.
Well, there's no way I was picking Toronto, but I will say this. I was like, you know what? There's got to be one that like just draws eyeballs, and I'm gonna pick the Boston Bruins, not because I believe in it, just because I have to be a little different than Maddie. So now I feel super dumb because it's out there forever. It's been recorded, it's been tweeted, it's been everything. So Back to Madden.
You want to talk about your Metro pick too, or?
Oh, hey, my Metro pick looks good. What are you talking about? I picked the Rangers.
Oh boy, we need to get you a preview magazine next year before.
Hey, the Rangers are 1 point back right now. They're looking great.
No Shesterkin for the next little while here.
He's put
on IR, and that's all that team is. They're doing to Shesterkin what they did to Lundqvist, where they're hoping the goalie takes him through everything, and he'll take him far. But does that team have enough to stop other teams from doing what they want to do? That's the question.
I will say this: Carolina's come back a little back to reality, right? A little bit. They were overplaying. They lost Tony D'Angelo to COVID recently. But yeah, I'm still sticking with my New York Rangers pick. I think they're fun.
They got a lot of talent on that team. I really do think they've got a lot of talented players, and a number of players that their best hockey is still way ahead of them. I'm assuming that we're all being a little rough on Lafreniere because he hasn't really produced, but are we being too rough on him? This is a guy that, you know, kind of came out and was he 19, 20 years old, straight to the NHL?
But you know what? He played well last game. He made some nice passes at the end of the game. Sometimes you're just, you know, you need to be in the doghouse a little bit. And like Gallant said, he's a bit too cocky. He's a little bit too confident. And even when things aren't going his way, he's still too cocky, too confident. So maybe just a little step back to reality and he'll be the player that we all think he is.
Yeah. For me, the only reason he played for the Rangers out of his draft is because he was number one. I like the player. I love what he said. I watched him in junior, great hockey player. He's the kind of player, though, that should go back for one more year. Mm-hmm. Put him somewhere for one more year. Let him still realize the work still needs to be put in here, because I think that's what was lacking for him. He thought the success was just going to come. He needs to work at it a little bit more and be cocky all you want, but you got to be able to back that up. And I'm not like everyone else, I'm not sold on Gallant as an NHL head coach on a team with young superstars or young budding stars. He's gonna have to take some lessons here and learn the hard way how to be successful in the National Hockey League. Dig in a little bit here and don't expect it. Go get it.
Yeah.
While we're on first round picks, I just want to get your guys' opinion on this. Jack Hughes finally recovers from his ailing injury and signs a massive 8x8 contract with a career high. Hold on, wait for it. Drum roll, maybe not. 31 points. So you got Lafreniere, Hughes, Power. Is this the most boring first round picks we've ever seen? Like, this has been a real rough stretch. What's your opinion on the first round picks and the contract?
That's Jack Hughes is marketable where he is at in New Jersey. And then his brother's coming up and he was just drafted there. So that contract is, for me, is to ensure that he's there in New Jersey and someone to market that team around. He's got a lot of talent around him. I'm not sure he's a number one center in the National Hockey League. So here's all your money. Now give us all your work. It's very similar how I see the Marner contract in Toronto, where you've done a little bit for us and we think you're going to be this superstar. So here, have your money. Now give us what you have. It's a dangerous game to play. But when you're New Jersey and you've been middle of the pack for how long now, and you've had these first overall draft picks, add Nico Hischier to that mix there, it's time for them to take the next step. And Jack Hughes is easy to market there. And I think he will be a good centerman in this league. If I was in charge of that roster, I almost would put him on the wing with Nico Hischier and try to market a big line there and see if you can find some magic here.
Yeah, I don't dislike the contract per se. Like, you know, it comes down to they clearly like him and they have plans for him and they're locking him up. And I think I don't want to draw comparisons to the Cale Makar contract in a way that they're the same player or they've accomplished the same thing. But it's a bit of like, in 4 to 5 years, we're betting that this is going to be a steal of a deal. And we're going to have this guy in his prime making pennies in the dollar, and it'll be easier to build around him then. Right now, they've got the money, they've got the cap space, and the cap is projected to go up, you know, maybe not quickly right away, but in 4 to 5 years, it'll be kind of going up again. So I think it's a little bit of that kind of bet. But I mean, if there was ever a time to ask for something in New Jersey, I think now is the time. They're clearly just like Jack Jack, you want a big contract right now? You barely done anything? Sure, have it. What's that, Mr. Berger? You want to design our jerseys? Yeah, you can have final say and complete creative control. And we won't even worry about it until the commercials come out. It's fine. Just do whatever. They're just handing out these opportunities. And they're just taking shots. And hey, I mean, now's the time. Now's the time to go in there and ask for something. Maybe we should apply.
I'll send my resume in.
Yeah.
I will say with New Jersey, I'm a little confused on what they're doing. Is I get that they went out and got the big ticket Dougie Hamilton for $9 million. They're overpaying Nico Hischier right now, which is $7 million. And now they're going to be overpaying Jack Hughes for what he is going to be in a few years. Have we just forgotten that you can still bridge players? Like they did it with Matthew Tkachuk. They did it with Nathan MacKinnon. They did it with Sacha Barkov. You're allowed to bridge players and not give them all that money right away and then pay them for who they are. I think $8 million is pretty rich for a guy that really hasn't shown that he can play in the NHL. I get that he's young. I get that. But yeah, I just think that's a lot of cap and a lot of uncertainty. And maybe I'm just out to lunch here.
Let me add to that a little bit here. I think this contract is a perfect example of GMs being afraid of the Austin Matthews contract. Here's all the money. Here's the term, but only right till you hit free agency. I think that these kind of deals we might see more often because GM's going to be afraid of doing that kind of a deal, walking that guy right to free agency and giving him all the money. So I think that's why you saw the term on this kind of contract.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's not pretend that the Matthew Tkachuk thing is working out well.
We'll see how that qualifying offer goes for him. That'll be the big question, right?
Yeah.
Gary.
You saw his comments during when his brother was going through negotiations. I don't think he's going to be taking a Nathan MacKinnon discount to play.
But I will say with the Nathan MacKinnon discount at that time, that was not a discount. You know what I mean? It wasn't until Nylander signed his deal and then all of a sudden prices went skyrocket and Austin Matthews went skyrocket, right? Sacha Barkov was also $6 million. But yeah, Matthew Tkachuk is not going to be an easy walk in the park, especially with his 5-on-5 numbers this year. It's not going to be fun.
What? He's gonna look great in the blue note. That's
stop.
Yeah, but he'll be 35 by the time that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
We're patient. Waited what 45 years for a Stanley Cup? I can wait a few more years for Matthew Tkachuk. Oh man. Well, boys, let's go with a parting thought. I think we've kind of run the gamut of everything we want to talk about, and then some. Something that I wanted to do is try to end on a positive note, shine some sunlight on a team that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of those fresh rays recently or ever. The Buffalo Sabres, you guys had time to prepare. So hopefully we can do this without laughing too much. What is something positive that you feel you can say or something that you like about the Sabres? John, I'll kick it over to you as a guest.
This one's easy for me because there's a guy that plays for Buffalo that I watched his entire junior career. Dylan Cousins is a marketable guy. He's a likable guy. He's a good hockey player, and he's something that Buffalo can build around. You add in guys like Quinn, who's coming up there. The Tage Thompson's finally coming around a little bit here. We might be finally figuring out what Rasmus Dahlin is at the NHL level. I don't mind where Buffalo's actually headed here. We talked earlier about Ottawa and about Arizona and how big of a mess those teams are. And we had this question on one of my shows. Somebody asked me, who's worse, Buffalo or Arizona? And it's clearly Arizona because Buffalo has something to build around. They have Dylan Cousins. They have a nice draft pick coming up this year. They're going to get another lottery pick. They've got kids to build around. They need to find a goaltender because, you know, Craig Anderson isn't it long-term, and maybe find themselves a head coach because I don't think Granato is it long-term either, but there's stuff for Buffalo to build around here. Cousins is a nice piece. He's one of my boys. I tweet about him all the time, and they've got other kids coming. So there is light at the end of the tunnel for Buffalo. They just got to get there, and they got to keep that player development going, unlike what we see in Ottawa and in Arizona. So I don't mind Buffalo. I don't mind the direction they're headed here. They did screw up the Jack Eichel thing, but they can make up for it here in a quick way.
Yeah. Ty?
These are tough words. I will say I'm happy that you know, resolution has come in Buffalo, and the headlines aren't all about how terrible of an organization and how bad the owners are. I will say that Dylan Cousins, I'm with John. Dylan Cousins is about the only bright star. I think they're botching Rasmus Dahlin right now. Oh, dang it. I said something. I can't even help myself. Yeah, Dylan Cousins is about the only bright spot right now. And like the Buffalo Sabres just and Jeff Skinner, they both stink. So
Matty. Kind of. What a guy. Yeah, no, I think it's nice to see that Tage Thompson has had time to develop. 6'7"? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't realize he was that big. And that's nice. I will forever be grateful as a Blues fan for the gift that is Ryan O'Reilly and the Stanley Cup and the Selke, like, and the Conn Smythe. Like, so my gratitude goes out to them. Obviously, the Berglund part of that trade tree didn't really work out. The Sabatka part didn't really work out. But they're using the picks. They're still, those ones are still out there. The first rounder in 2019, I think. What did they turn the second rounder into? Well, I think Colin Miller. So maybe that's not that exciting, but there's still hope. And yeah, I think that despite the fact that they moved out, you know, Jack Eichel, who was probably the best player hands down the organization has had for a while, I think that it looks like there's reason to be positive and look for hope. You got Cousins, you got the lots of lottery picks in the near future. And yeah, I don't know. Their jerseys are nice. I'll say that. I think their classic jerseys are nice.
Don't forget, guys, they have Peyton Krebs coming back in that deal. If you watch Western Hockey League, you're going to like Peyton Krebs. He plays like Dylan Cousins. He plays a different position than Dylan. Maybe we see them on the line together. That's not a bad piece to get back. Eichel is the best player in that trade, but you did pretty good by getting a nice Peyton Krebs back for him. So don't undersell what that trade was like for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get Peyton Krebs is good, and this is going to sound bad. And I think he's a stud. And I all the stuff I've read and the stats and everything, he was like the best player in the WHL last couple years, especially last year. Good. Yeah. But you know, Kevin Adams went out and got the guy he wanted, and that was Peyton Krebs. It seemed like from the start of the summer, that was the only guy. And he's going to be great. So enjoy, Buffalo.
Yeah, there we go. On that note, wonderful. John, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us. Where can the people find you if they want to check out your stuff?
Yeah, you can find me at VintageJohnny84 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm there as well. Or you can find my show, Double Digit Hockey Show. You can find that on those same platforms at Double Digit Hockey. The hockey part spelled HKY on all those platforms. Add me, follow me. I'm fully interactive. Got lots of stuff planned for the new year coming up as well on the show. So I appreciate you guys having me on your show. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. And yeah, guys, you can always find us at Headspuck at on Twitter there. The PHFHL Hockey Podcast is going to be coming. We got something in the works. I think we're pretty settled on it, but we're going to hold off for now to put anything out there. Big changes, exciting things coming. And don't be afraid to follow us. You want to check us out? We're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, we're on Apple Play. If you're listening on something else, I don't know what you're doing. Come on, find us on those big networks. But with that, John, thanks for joining us. For Ty, for myself.
My pleasure.
Everyone, take care.